Tags are filled out.
All of them.
Purchased. Now it's just the waiting game.
Like, that was a few.
Well, what we got? Like... deer, which is your normal buck tag.
Plus the antlerless tag.
Antlerless tag. Two turkey tags. Elk draw.
Some
moose draw.
Coyote tags.
And you got coyote tags.
Yeah.
And we have not yet ventured down the road of bear tags because we just don't know if the time is going to allot itself. The beauty about bear tags are you can pick them up anytime.
True.
During season.
That is true.
So
if
you tag some
magic happenstance that like first weekend, sloucho,
mm-hmm.
I can nail a couple, which I mean, let's be honest.
It's a good possibility.
A couple turkeys, you know? I'm talking about deer.
Oh yeah, that's fall bear.
In the fall,
yeah,
yeah.
But spring bear. I mean, I might do it if, like you say, if I tag out early on turkey, you know, maybe.
But the problem with the bear, no matter when, man, like if you're gonna stand hunt for a bear, a
lot of traveling.
You can't just I'm gonna go in this weekend.
No,
you can't. You just can't. Because they're not going to be there because they have no reason to be there. If you're going to do a nice walk and spot and stalk and all this stuff, fine. That's the only way you're going to be able to do it.
Yeah. And that, if you're not,
they're not just going to come to a random barrel that you just threw out that weekend.
No, you got to bait in advance or at least be baiting all season and
lots of it.
Yeah.
It's got to be consistent.
It was so much, again, it's like, I look back on how good we had it without realizing how good we had it because we could literally leave the driveway, be in bear country in like, 15 minutes, brother, it took us to get to the Pinsbrook turnoff. And then
about that.
10 minutes in the road, like you could hammer out a bait barrel quick and you could do it.
You could be into the barrel in an hour.
Oh, easily. And that's if you wanted to go nice and deep where you were, like, away from everybody. If you wanted to come closer, man, you could be at your bait barrel in 40 minutes. No problem. So, again, man.
Like, we're looking at, like, 3 hours here.
Oh, but yeah, for sure.
3.5.
All day. All day.
That's, unless you got spare time.
Yeah, which... Right now,
like if you works mobile or like from home or something like that, then you can make it work,
dude.
You can make and you're not worried about fuel. You could do that,
yeah.
But like, man,
that's what we need.
You'd never see anybody if you had to work a regular job and go bear hunting all the time, like bear baiting all the time.
No, yeah.
You'd be nonstop on the road.
Yeah, unless you live up north and then you're laughing because you're in the same situation we
were. Yeah, but that's a different story, right?
So yeah, yet another thing we took for granted for many, many, many years of
hunting. Didn't even really bear hunt that much.
Not a lot. In the last few years we did, we were a lot heavier into it. But anyway, it's a tougher game, but turkey season is coming up. I'm very excited for turkey season this year. I think it's going to be good.
I am too. I am just like a little bit stressed out.
What are you stressed out for, brother?
Well, you see, like, don't get me wrong. I got some news today.
Good news.
I'm very happy about. Yes, very good news. My bow has at least made it to Canada.
In folks. Kitchener.
It's in Kitchener.
Just got to wait till it gets to the shop now.
Just the wrong building in Kitchener.
Yeah.
So I'll be going to pick that sucker up this weekend, but I'm only going to have 5 days to get familiar with it.
Yeah, and get sighted in.
And then, bam, turkey's open.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
So I'm not even worrying about a tape to start with. I'm just getting 20, 30, 40 pin
set.
Put down.
Yeah.
Yep. And then as soon as turkey is done, then it's getting ready for the sight tape for tack.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll be good.
Way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's right around the corner, man. It's not far away now, for sure.
I know.
No,
it's, no, it is not.
What do we got? It's it opens the 25th, right? Yeah,
25th. April, yeah.
Yeah, so we're 10 days away.
Yeah.
And by, yeah, like you say, by the time you pick up your bow this weekend, you're going to have, you'll have, by the time you get home, you'll be 3 days. I'm going to
pick it up on the 20th.
Yeah, you'll be 3 days to sight in 10, 20, 30, or 20, 30, 40. But that's okay.
You're not too worried about that. I get that in an evening, no problem.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's not bad. It's just getting familiar with it and all that stuff and feeling it where you are. Because draw lens, I find my draw lens a little different depending on the bow too, right?
So, well, and also where this one's got the adjustable handle, like the grip.
Yeah, you're going to want to play with that eventually at least.
Right? Like for now, like I say, I'm just going to get, leave it everything as is.
Yeah.
I'm just going to get it paper tuned at the shop. And then, you know.
Which with Bowtech will be quite easy and take us about 15 minutes. Because you'll shoot through paper.
Can't wait for that.
We'll crank the wheels, shoot through paper, crank the wheels, and you'll be done.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful thing. No bow presses involved, which is top notch.
Love it.
I'd like to say thank you to Zonix for sponsoring this episode. No, I'm just fucking around.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Can you imagine? I didn't even tell you. I'm just like, yeah. Yeah, no, it'll be good. You'll love that thing, man, when you get it. It shoots great.
You and your weird little dip thing.
You can have a dipperoo sometimes, man, and this is better than the tobacco one. So
it's like a dip bag.
It's a dip bag, man. Well, it's that's, like the you
that,
you
that's, that doesn't sound good, bro.
You can, no, it doesn't. No, it's you can get the pouches in normal chewing tobacco too, but they're for girls and training wheels for fellas that are just starting out dipping?
Well, I'm sure most fellas that dip would say the same thing about your little Nick dip.
Oh, I would never tell anybody I did these back at work, like with the boys I used to work with, because they'd be like, there's not even tobacco in that trim. What the fuck is that?
Buzz, if any of you are listening, make sure you write in. And write into the Facebook one, because our Facebook page, because I monitors that one.
He does monitor that one. Yeah, that's his domain.
You'll get me, not him deleting it.
Yeah, exactly. Deleting the comments on Instagram. Yeah, no, it's real exciting to finally get a season back open again, and because I've been itching to kind of get hunting and stuff. So that's good. And I kind of like that our whole season kind of starts with something like turkey, because it's an exciting hunt. Just getting them, you know, hitting that gobble first thing in the morning when the sun's coming up, and it's real cool. And, you know, especially if you get like a few gobbles all around you, you're like, whoa, what's going on here, boys? You know?
Yeah.
And I'm real excited to do one of them with a shotgun hunt as well. So that's it's got me wound.
That reminds me too. You said you might have a pop-up blind I could borrow.
I do have a pop-up blind you can borrow. I have two, so you can borrow one.
Perfect.
I don't see why not. You know what I mean? Yeah. So when you come
eventually,
down.
Like I will be doing this very soon. Actually, I'm hoping before fall turkey, I'm going to pick up that. I know most people are going to, but I'm going to get that Tide Wee one on Amazon.
Bro, that thing's great. Why would anybody say shit about that?
That thing is, because it's Tide Wee. Yeah, I say shit about Tide Wee. I had that Tide Wee bag, and that thing sounded like a goddamn haunted house, man.
Well, yeah, but some companies.
Just walking along.
Yeah, but some companies do things better than others, right? Like, so I think that Tide Wee blind
is quite good. True, not all other products are going to be good.
Yeah, that's what I mean, right? Like, you know, some companies do waders well, and they don't do
clothing. Do the 270 degree see through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's pretty sweet.
That's what I mean, right? Like Benelli makes a great shotgun, but I wouldn't buy one of their rifles. And not that they make a bad rifle either. They probably, you know, their rifles are top shelf. But you know, if you're going to buy a top shelf rifle for that kind of money, you're going to buy a Seiko. You know what I mean? Like if you're spending $4,000 on a rifle, why wouldn't you buy a, you know, the one, you know, it's like buying, if you were going to go spend $4,000.
And you know, we've been pronouncing that wrong forever.
What? Seiko?
It's Sacco.
Nah, I'm never calling him Sacco. I don't give a fuck if that guy from Seiko on the internet said it's Sacco. I don't care. It's Seiko. Sacco sounds terrible. You should tell your reps to stop calling it that. No, I'm sure we have been, but that's a newfie thing, I guess, maybe. Come to think of it, I was talking to a fellow up here, and I called it Seiko, and he kind of looked at me weird for a second, like, who the fuck is Seiko? But I don't know, whatever. But yeah, it would be like if you were going to go buy $1,000 optics. You're not going to go spend, because you can buy $800-$900 optics at Canadian Tire, but you're going to buy Vortex ones.
I think so, yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're going to spend that much money, you're going to buy a set of Vortex.
I am curious, actually, though, like, what does, like, and I know Bushnell is normally, like, the everyman's binoculars, but yeah. I know they do have some good ones.
Oh, they've got some $1,000
ones. I am curious how comparable the, like, A1 gear from Bushnell would be against, like, say, Leupold or Vortex.
Sorry, what were you saying about?
Well, I'd just be curious to see Bushnell again? What it was really like if you pitted the absolute top tier Bushnell against the comparable priced Vortex or Leupold.
Right. I'm curious. I think, I'm sure they make good glass just like anybody else. They probably get their glass from similar factories.
I was going to say, I bet you most of them don't make their own glass.
I think when it comes to companies like Vortex and Swarovski and all those guys, I think it's the warranty that you're paying for at the end of the day. You know what I mean? Because you can send you get a lifetime warranty on your Vortex optics. You can send those suckers back
for anything.
And there's barely any questions asked. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's wild.
So I think that's where I think that's where it all stems from. Mm. Whereas I don't know if Bushnell has a lifetime warranty, so I shouldn't say that they don't, but,
I don't know.
I mean, and I'm sure the ones that Canadian Tire sells are not quite the same
type of
optics that you would get at like Shooter's Choice. Because like for TVs, for example, right? Like you can buy a Sony Bravia from a electronics shop or you can buy a Sony Bravia from Walmart. And I was told by a Sony rep that they are not the same.
No.
They might look the same, but the SKU numbers are different and the guts inside them is different.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm sure optics are the same way, right?
For sure. There's different tiers, right? It's just like Canadian Tire's yeah. as opposed to like going to the manufacturer and buying the tires. It's right. Different grade rubber.
You're going
to
get some.
Same tread pattern, different grade rubber.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so anyway, like we say, Turkey's coming up and we're pretty pumped about that. And
yeah.
That'll be good to get a couple of those in the bag and, I'm on the fence. I know I do want an archery hunt one, but you know, what do you guys think at home? Like, do you think I should just go after them with shotgun, like both of them, or do you think I should do one and one? Or hit us up on Instagram. Tell me what we should do.
Well, you should do.
I got that.
Everybody knows what I'm.
Yeah, what I should do. Yeah, you're sticking with archery.
Yeah
but
I can't. I'm
definitely
wait
doing
for fall
one and one for now.
To go get some archery geese. That's happening this fall.
Yeah, you're pumped about that.
This
you're
fall, really that's happening. That. This is 40 years in the making, son.
Yeah. Yeah, you've been waiting for this day all your life. It's like, when can I archery hunt for a goose? I'm surprised we never figured that out back home.
No, I know.
But then again, there's fuck all geese back home, so what's
not
the
enough.
Point?
Not enough to get real uppity about.
Not unless you were going to Codroy Valley.
No, and like all the...
In which case, then you...
All the materials and time and effort we wasted building duck and geese blinds. Man, for what?
Bro.
For four geese.
Yeah, like what... I think what was the biggest flock like we saw one time was 12 or 16?
Yeah, not... Yeah. Here, man.
Bro.
It comes in like the waves on water up here.
Bro, we put in work.
Yeah, dogged it.
Just to hunt a flock of 12 geese. Yeah. Like, I mean, like weeks of work. Like we built a full on camp.
Oh,
like
yeah.
With a structure, 12 by 12 structure up on blocks,
up on
all
six
built
by
at
six.
A 2x6. Yeah. Like shucked in with a roof and felted and everything.
Because we seen and then, for a couple of years in a row, they kept coming back.
Yeah, up at Marianne Bog. And then we built a duck blind just down from it. and
for like, six people,
we spent time on that ship.
That's big. That's we a good put size blind.
So
dude.
Much shit. Yeah, six person blind. Mm-hmm. We put so much effort into like loading boats full of lumber and stuff to get in there and
dragging them all around
for 12 geese, man. What were we thinking?
Making do with what we had, man.
So we'll set a stage for you, right? Is we're it's what was it, September 29th or something like that, and we're in the duck blind that we had just built first time of the year, and we go in the boat, we stay in the cabin overnight, and we get out early in the morning. We're in the blind. There's six geese just way down the river, and we're waiting for them to come up. There's a few ducks cruising around there too, a couple black ducks and stuff like that, a few teal. And just on the other side of the river is this nice, vast, like, bog and marshland and all that stuff and barren. And there is just caribou cruising back and forth.
Yep.
Like, a herd of, like, 15 or something like that. And they're and good racks on them and stuff like that. Now, granted, we were in a sanctuary area, so you couldn't hunt them there. But we're sitting there, and we're like, oh, look at them caribou. And then, right, like, no attention paid more than that, other than trying to take a couple of very far distant pictures with shitty phones and looking through them through binoculars. And like, we could have spent all that time grabbing caribou tags and going hunting caribou up in gaff topsails. But here we are
being
working our nuts off for. Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, that you couldn't get a shot at half the time if you tried.
No. And the fuel, man. And materials.
Oh, the gas we burned, bro, to build that fucking blind. And that, it was crazy, man.
Nobody can say we don't put in an effort. We are not afraid to commit.
No, dude, look at that blind we built up on that, up at, where was it, Blueberry Pond?
Oh.
Remember the one we hunted, me and you were sat in the bush, right? And then, that was the day before Greg's wedding, we're hunting.
Yeah.
In that bush, and then we're like, you know what we're gonna do? We're gonna build a fucking blind on the other side of that. We're gonna frame it in with logs. We're just gonna cut them down, and we're gonna tarp that sucker in. Then we're gonna brush it
in the canoe.
Man, we spent with a canoe. We spent days fucking around with that shit. It's just so foolish, man. Like,
hey,
the effort that went into that was unreal.
Kept us in trouble.
We had a good time.
No trouble to be had.
Nope. And despite the difficulty of hunting them back home, boy, did we ever have fun building them blinds. Oh, yeah. It's just being out in the woods, man, that was our thing. We belong there.
Yeah, it's home.
We always have. Yeah. We always have. We never ever had more fun than when we were just fucking around in the woods.
Yeah, because it's just the place to be.
How many clays did we bust up at?
Thousands.
The end of that. What was that road again?
That's Glidebrook Road.
Glidebrook Road, yeah. No, it was 100 in a box, isn't it?
No.
Yeah, because we used to buy that 100 box of shells. No, 50 in a box. So we would buy 100 box of shells and 2 boxes of clays.
More than 50 clays in a box, bro.
Nope, just 50.
Yes. Because we would buy 10, one. And then there'd be 9 stacks. So that's 90.
Five stacks.
No. Mm-hmm. No way. I gotta look it up now. I gotta see if they still sell that box.
Yeah, check it out. but I mean, we would spend every weekend up there shooting clays.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Like every week, it was like a ritual for us to get off of work Friday.
90s, yeah.
Drive to Corner Brook. 90
a box.
Oh, okay. So we would get one box of those and a box of shells each. So we would have.
And then we'd always drive all the way to Corner Brook. Small things to shoot.
Yeah, yeah.
Target or whatever.
Go all the way to Corner Brook, pick up a box of shells, a box of clays, drive back. Yeah. And then the next morning we'd be up with the clay thrower and stomping that thing into the ground and then having to move it because eventually it would work its way loose. Yeah.
Because we had it wound so tight. Like the thing, how many times did we bend the thing because it was so hard to get sprung back around?
Oh, the little thrower. Yeah, we used to reef that. And we went through 4 or 5 of them throwers.
Oh, I remember the first one we had, we just left it.
That was time we left it up in the winter. In Jack Ladder.
Yeah. All right, boys, let's go.
Yeah.
Just leave it there. Left the clay thrower there. Just went
on. Just, then couldn't find it. We went back in to look for it.
Well, guys were in there cutting wood, so they were like, ooh, look at this.
Yeah. We experimented with that hand thrower for a while, too, but that thing's shit. You used to smash the clays all the time.
Yeah, they used to break the clays a lot.
Because as you were putting it in,
yeah,
it would crack the clay. Yeah. And then when you throw it, it just come Shut apart, up. Right? But I'm real excited to get after some waterfowl up here.
Me too.
Like, because it is legit here.
Actually, it's like a real thing here.
Yeah, like there's waterfowlers. Like, they're pretty few and far between back home.
Yeah.
You don't hear of a lot of guys like into waterfowl.
Not really. There's
few. The guys that are into it, oh, and mostly sea ducks.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Going out for
but to eat a merganser, like, man, they're so goddamn fishy, man.
Fishy, yeah.
Yeah, you got to garlic just to cut the fishiness out of them suckers.
Fried,
you know?
Baby.
But deep fried, yeah. So, yeah, but that'll be a ton of fun. When we get at that. So,
I got a question for you now.
And now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Go ahead first before I ask me a question.
No, go ahead. You go ahead.
All right. So my question is, when something changed, like companies used to come out, like a new company, or not even necessarily a new company, but like kind of like a newbie company, like say 5, 10 mm-hmm. years, whatever. Because 10 years is not long to be in, especially in like the archery world. You're a baby.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, because you got companies that have been around for 90 years. Yeah.
So I just don't get when it shifted that a brand new or essentially a new company can just all of a sudden, like all their products are the tippity top range of how it goes.
For the price.
Right. Yeah. Even if you're using the tippity top material, your name doesn't carry the weight to really justify.
It's hard to get behind, right? If for those of you at home, we're referring to companies like Expedition Archery. We were checking out some of their bows and we were reading some reviews or watching some reviews or whatever. And, I mean, they're, you know, down in the States, they're a little bit, they're way more popular than they are here. You can't even find them here, to be honest. But, yeah, all their bows are basically in the $1,800 to $2,100 range. They're all aluminums, or not aluminum. They're all metal, magnite.
Yeah. The new ones are magnite. Yeah.
The new ones are, which puts them in that real high price point, like a carbon bow from Hoyt or PSE or whoever.
The wildly high price point.
And they've only been around. How long have they been around, bro?
Well, do you remember? That's what I'm trying to look up here now. I'm trying to figure out.
But, yeah, it seems hard to, and I'm sure they make great bows because, you know, like you say, they're very popular in America and stuff like that, but they're certainly speed demons for the most part. But it's hard to justify a bow at that price when you have options like Matthews and Hoyt and you know, you're into carbon territory prices as well, like we were saying. To spend $2,000 on a bow, you know, you'd be pretty hard pressed not to buy a new Hoyt.
Yeah,
RX-8 or a Levitate or something like that. Like,
okay, so here's a little bit of a background on Expedition. So Expedition Archery is actually a subsidiary of Applied Engineering. Applied Engineering is an aerospace company. They manufacture parts for the aerospace industry.
Hence where the magnite comes from,
right?
Because they use that in aerospace.
So in 2013, Expedition Archery was born. So they've been around for 10 years, almost 11.
Okay.
So, but again, that's not a long time. Not really.
Not really.
Not to be developing, manufacturing, and perfecting, we'll call the bow. So while the stats are great, the product seems like the material seems to be great. I know Trophy Light is using it for their sticks, the climbing sticks, and their
Trophy Line
for their platform. Yep. And that's been getting good reviews so far, but these are stationary items. Yes, they take a lot of compression, but they just hold weight. That's all they do.
Yeah, and Trophy Line's been around for a long time in the saddle game.
Right, but...
As long as saddles have been out.
But what I'm referencing now is the fact that as far as a bow, an archery riser goes... That's kind of a new material.
It is new. It's very light.
It's supposed to be like 20% lighter, 30% more rigid or something.
Than aluminum.
Which is great. Yeah. Again, like I say, on paper, the numbers are awesome. But
sure.
I don't know how that's going to actually relate to real world performance.
Yeah. Well, especially when you have a company like Hoyt, for example, that's been around since 1931.
Right. But now you know I'm even talking more about the material itself, that Magnite. Like, we don't know how that's going to handle sustained big kinetic energy explosions like that. Maybe that 30% rigidity gain is going to be too much. You know what I mean? Maybe we need that bit of flex.
Right. And, you know, they... So Magnite comes in almost like a powder form in its raw form.
And they got to cast
before it gets formed, smelted. I think they, I don't know the process of turning it into like a solid material. But so basically the way Magnite works is because it comes in a powder form, you can kind of add elements from different metals to change the alloy itself to handle different types of stresses, right? So in the aerospace industry, I'm sure they use it and they put in materials that make it very, very heat resistant, for example, right? Something like
that. Sure, yeah.
So you can take that material and make it great for like tensile strength and all that stuff. It's just, to me, it's really hard to get behind that price bow for a company that just isn't proven yet, maybe.
Because it's 2000 American.
And I think this... Yeah, and this is like their first year, I think,
doing Magnite. Yeah,
before that, I think it was aluminum before that. I don't know what their prices were then, but yeah, I don't know. I feel like you would end up buying something from the big guys like Matthews. You know what I mean? And Matthews has gotten their aluminum bows down to sub 4 pounds, depending on the axle to axle length that you buy from them. So
I will say this though, you know, 33-inch at 3¾ pounds. Well, 3.8 that's super pounds, impressive. Sorry, like that is
super impressive,
insane.
Yeah,
but again, we fall into the same discussion of how light is too light.
Well, yeah, you make that argument too, right?
You know, it's great. It's awesome to be able to say that we have this capability, right? Yes, let's push the boundaries. Let's see how far we can take it. But once we get to the point where it becomes a negative effect, we got to stop, right?
Because there is a trade-off to a lighter bow, right? It becomes less stable. Except for some reason, PSE's new Mach 30, apparently that thing is like sits like a rock somehow.
Which is strange because the reflex is like 4.5 inches or something.
I know, but everybody is talking about that bow and they're like, this bow has broken the stigma of light
short bow
bows with high reflex. Because usually they're twitchy and they're this and they're that. But apparently this thing just sits still. I'd love to shoot one. I'm super excited to see one come into the shop because I want to try one out because that's impressive. If they figured out some way to make that thing rock solid and not float around everywhere, like that's super. But you got Dudley helping you make them. If you're going to have anybody help you design a bow, and when you got Dudley and if like Matthews has Levi, for example, well, I don't know how much he has to do with R&D, like we were saying before, but
I'd say Yeah, I'm sure they ask all those guys. I'm sure like all the big companies ask their guys, you know, like, what would you like to see? What kind of things do you think should be, should not be? But I mean, how much?
But I think Dudley's.
Oh, he's in it.
He's involved. Yeah,
yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
He has videos out where they've sent him prototypes, and he's like, and he sends it back. He says, change this, this, and change this. And then they just work their way, like the whole cam that they put on the Levitates, like the E2 and the S2. Yeah, he went through like 9 or 10 iterations of that just the cam alone. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, certainly helps to have a guy like that on your team helping to design a bow.
We need a CNC machine. Sure.
Just make a bow
and a bunch of billet
and billet aluminum.
Just a big bunch of billets.
Just cut out some rods.
I think that would be interesting. If it'd we both got a little lesson in CAD and we could each go on individually, design and cut our own risers just to see the differences in what we would have.
Yeah. Mine would be the ugliest thing in the world.
Why?
Just
you don't know that.
I don't know. I'd go for 100% function just to see how good you could make it.
Yeah.
You know? Be interesting. But yeah, I don't know. It's I'd love to try and shoot an expedition one day just to get a feel for it, see what it's like.
Here's another problem. Where are you going to shoot it?
You ain't shooting one
here. Are they even in Canada?
I'm sure some shop somewhere carries them. Probably at West, I would imagine.
That I could see. I could see them being a more of an out West.
Western style.
Find a dealer.
I mean, one day when we get the chance to hit up Lancaster, it'd be interesting to put a few arrows through one.
Yeah.
You looking up where you can find them?
I am. Mm-hmm. So, well, there's one not wildly far from here, actually, but it's in the States, though. Uh-huh. Oh, okay. But it's only 2 hours.
That's not bad, actually.
Yeah.
From you?
Yeah. It's another one.
Well, maybe
2.5. Then there's a... Okay, so they're big in the States then. Barreau.
Yeah.
In West Cheney, in Castle Creek, New York, there is a store called Full Draw Archery.
Ooh. We copyrighted that name. You guys owe us money.
No, we have Full Draw Podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
We should get a hold of them. Be like, hey, man.
Yeah.
You guys had a good thought. Yeah, so I guess the Expedition's big in the States. Well, they have a big dealer network anyway.
Yeah, they are a lot bigger in the States for sure. So same with Darton, right? Darton's a very popular brand in the States. True. Where it just here is not. Man,
they made leaps this year.
Oh yeah.
Everybody this year is like, the Consequence is crazy. And what was the other
great
one?
Bow. I can't remember now.
Oh, Cliff was telling me about it. Remember? Because he was getting 355 feet per second. No, 365, I think it was.
Ooh.
Out of what's his draw length again? 35 inch. He's got, I think he's a 30, I think he said.
Yeah, so you got the Consequence. You got the Departure.
What's the 35 inch?
Oh, yeah, they got a 35 inch bow. Verocity. Yeah. That's a good name for a bow that's super fast. Mm-hmm.
That's cruising, man.
Yeah, it is a. Let me see. Speeds, true speed, 339 feet per second. 70 pounds with 350 grain arrow, but that's at 29 inches.
Yeah. So he had a little bit longer draw length and a little bit heavier arrow. He was at like 412, I think he said.
Jesus.
That's cruising,
man. Yeah. But yeah, they've certainly come a long way. They make some great bows. And like you say, lots of guys in the States love them. So you know, we really only get the mainstream bows up here.
Yeah, and the problem is, it's like we only even see the mainstream ones too. Like, I remember when we saw the bows, we were like,
"What's that?
What's going on? A different bow manufacturer? Like, what? Where'd these guys go?" Yeah.
Like, it was, and just, they are
no more.
No more. They have gone the way of the dinosaur.
Well, hey, that's what happens when you copy, when you cheat.
Yep. Can't do that stuff.
No, you can't be cheating.
You know, speaking of
cheating,
why they are gone. You got some news today that was good.
Bro, we talked about this earlier.
Did we?
Yeah.
Did we just talk about? Oh, okay.
Like at the beginning of the show.
Oh, we did talk about it at the
beginning. Where's you at today?
God damn, where's my mind at today?
I don't know. You're focused somewhere. It was brief. Yes, the bow is in.
Yeah.
Pick it up this weekend. Oh,
work's been crazy the last little while, man.
It's going to be amazing.
We finally got spray foam put in.
Oh, up there. Yeah. That's good. Get that one done out of the way.
Yeah, it'll be great. So, yeah, man.
I can't wait. Oh, I want to see that color combination so bad. Even when I called when I called customer service, the lady that was looking up the thing, she goes, "Ooh, this is going to look interesting."
Yeah.
I'm like, yes, it will.
Oh, it's going to be a cool bow, man. It's, did we tell the folks at home what colors you went with after? Oh, you're going to wait. Right? Okay. I won't spill the beans here.
No, it's a surprise. I won't spill the beans. But. And don't you be going down to Shooter's Choice and getting them to open that box either.
Oh, I'm definitely going
to you to death with the bow.
No, I joke. I'm interested to see how you feel about the adjustable grip. I think you're going to enjoy that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to pop that sucker out a little bit.
That's what I did on my
record. That's something I've always
not noticed. A ton.
No, like maybe I was thinking like two, maybe three of the little hash marks that are there. Just enough to...
Because I... Just to, kick it out a little bit. Because I put one of the... on my Levitate, I put it... In the
that little bottom piece thing,
that kicks your hand out a little bit. It feels a little bit more natural than being so flat. Like,
yeah, nice well, and where I broke my wrist a couple little. Times as a teenager, for me to get my wrist back in that style of hand position,
flat,
for me to like have a day of shooting. But man, this wrist gets worse than my draw muscles. Like,
yeah.
So to be able to have that a little more forward, a little more recurve style, I think is going to be beneficial. And I'm hoping also in doing that, I may possibly get out to 27.
Yeah, that'd be great if you could squeeze another half inch out of that sucker.
That would be nice. That would be beneficial. I don't care on a target rig, on a hunting rig. I need every FPS. Oh, that little bit of extra speed
helps, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did they say? You lose 10 feet per second every inch of draw length you drop down?
Give or take, yeah.
Roughly 8 to 10 or something like that? Yeah. So you would gain like 5 or 6 feet per second. Right.
And then once I get them A3 bloodline babies on there, they're supposed to be, they're averaging, you know, anywhere from 5 to 15 feet per second just from throwing on some strings, baby.
Those suckers are so nice, man.
So if I can then pump that up, if I can get my bow another 20 feet per second faster than what I normally would be, I mean, that's a lot. That's considerable. Oh. 15 feet per second, man.
Yeah.
That then, if I'm at 20, like that then puts me in the range of some of the 28 inch shooters for speed.
Yep.
And that's just a lot more bone smashing power, right? Like I need that speed to punch.
It'll just be nice too now because you'll be able to get out shooting and stuff. Because I know when you're trading a bow in, it's real dodgy to go out and shoot it. Like,
yeah,
I know the likelihood of nothing bad happening is,
but
you know, pretty low. But the off chance that it does,
but
you know, if you get a derail or something like that, like.
Well, man, even if you just accidentally knock it over.
And chip a limb or anything like that. It's, you know.
Oh, chip a limb.
You'll be able to get in the yard. When are you moving your podcast studio out to your new?
Well, I had my brother come out and he helped me run power, but we didn't run any internet out there.
I was going to say on the podcast, say, you know what we didn't do, like dummies? We didn't run an Ethernet cable out there, which would have been smart to do.
Well, you can't just bury the cable, though. See, I would.
Yeah, you can. Fuck it. Bury it.
Well.
Why not? You just got to get 120 feet of Ethernet cable.
Yeah, I don't mind that so much with like the big contractor grade extension cords, because they got a nice big fat insulated housing around them. But Ethernet cable.
But what odds about Ethernet cable, even if you struck it? Yeah, but even if you struck it, there's no electricity in it.
I'm not worried about it being.
You just lose internet.
Yeah, I'm not worried. Yeah, I know. But then I got all my stuff out in the shed.
Yeah, and then you'd have to log it
back in. Bring it all back in out. We'll see.
It would be pretty sweet to have it out there, though.
It would. It would. You're not wrong.
Yeah. Because that thing is sweet. So for the folks that don't know, back home, I went up last weekend and or the weekend before, and we ran some power out there. We got some lights put up. Mm-hmm. We got air conditioner picked up for out there.
gotta have the AC.
Got a little heater. Oh, you gotta have the AC up here, man. We got a little heater out there. Take the chill out of the air. It is, I must say, brother, a not beautiful, bad. Beautiful shed. It's yeah, it's great, dude. It's great. Yeah. That thing is going to bring you a great deal of joy.
Oh, yeah. I'm starting to get it set up now for getting it ready to film stuff. And it'll be good.
Yeah.
Be good. Yeah. It's a nice space.
It's a great spot for a dude who needs a little bit of a shed and some places to hang some bows and get some stuff out of the house. That place is.
Oh, it freed up so much space in the house.
Oh, dude.
Plus, I got Adrian making curtains for me.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Oh, beauty.
Camouflage curtains, man.
Yeah. That thing is awesome, man. So let's say, let's talk a little bit of waterfowl for a minute here, just because I'm trying to get you back into it here. I know it's a struggle and you're not too concerned about it, but I'm going to keep at you because I need a duck hunting partner.
And, I'll never say no.
I've never had a better one than you, so.
You know, as I'm going to go anyway.
But let's talk shotguns for a minute.
All right.
I know we're archery podcast folks, but you know, we've done the archery thing, but we all love hunting. And you know, if you're an archery hunter, you probably do a bit of shotgun hunting or upland bird hunting.
Most
for
people do more rifle and then a little bit of archery.
Yeah, exactly. What are you thinking for a shotgun?
Over under.
You can do over under? Yeah. What are you thinking?
In all honesty, it's probably going to be something pretty basic, maybe like a Canadian Tar special, like a Savage or even like that. Remember the, was it Baikal, that Russian made one?
Just
a nice, simple, you know, I might even go 20 gauge.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, it's getting hard to find ammo.
Yeah.
410 be all right, say, like, but.
Be a little hard pressed to find shells for it. You want a 12 gauge, man.
Well,
I'm just looking at Cabela's here now to see what they got in over unders for a reasonable price.
So
they got Stoger Condor.
Hold on.
Okay. All right.
For context, I was just gonna use that one, the Stoger Condor Long Fowler. The one with the extended chokes and everything. When we were looking, this would have been like 2018. Everybody's still back in Newfoundland. They were $599.
Mm-hmm.
So what are that now? Because that was one of my favorites that Cabela's had.
Well, the Stoger Condor Long Fowler edition is $779.
Okay, that's not crazy. I figured it would have been like $999 by now.
No, it's not crazy, but it's gone up a nice bit. Just the regular Stoger Condor is $699.
Yeah, but the Long Fowler's got the 30-inch barrels with the extended chokes, single trigger.
You like them 30-inch barrels, eh? So I'm a 28-inch guy with extended choke.
Well, that's what my 1187 was a 28.
28, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that's a nice gun.
Yeah.
All synthetic black.
Oh, no, I'd get the wood.
Okay, they don't have the wood version here.
That's a boo.
On Cabela's. is a boo. They do have it in the regular Condor.
Then I'd get the regular one. If I get to over under, I'm getting it in wood.
Yeah, you almost got it, right?
How do you
It's kind of like sacrilege to it's kind of sacrilege to buy an over under. Unless you're getting like a Browning Satori in Bottomlands or something like that.
Now,
you know what I mean? Yes. They look real cool.
Yes, we did see that one at Shooter's Choice, and that thing was mental.
Oh, dude, so but nice.
I just can't afford that $3,000 shotgun.
Oh,
that's the problem I have with that.
It is. I'm just looking it up on Cabela's. They should be roughly the same prices.
I would think, yeah. I'm pretty sure it was in the multi-thousand.
The Synergy, oh, they only got wood. Hmm. That's a bummer.
Go on to Shooter's
Choice.
But yeah, I'll definitely be going with an over-under when the time happens.
Yeah, I think that's kind of your
thing. Two shells is enough. I've always wanted one. Never had one. It's actually the only type of shotgun I've never had. Actually, that's a lie. I never had a bolt action shotgun either.
No, I don't know why you would.
It'd be cool just to have it. Good for slug gun though, see?
True enough, yeah.
A lot of deer guys.
True enough.
Going out slugs for 12 gauge. Ooh, that might get me out for deer too.
Oh, that would be cool, actually.
Oh, you'd like that, see? Because then you could put a holographic sight on.
Yeah.
You'd dig that.
I don't see the camo one on their website here, which is a bummer. Mm-hmm. Whoo, my God. Look at the price of Browning shotguns in wood.
Oh, dude.
A Browning Satori 725, $4,330. Yeah,
and that's what, AAA walnut?
Oh, yeah, that's like nice wood and all that shit. You know what I mean? Like, that's like the primo stuff. The one gun I've always, always wanted, and you know what one it is too for over under, is a Benelli 828U.
Fancy pants.
I love that gun, man, so much. But it's the cheapest version of that gun is $3,799.
Yeah. And in all honesty, that's only just starting to scratch the surface of where the really good guns start.
Oh, yeah, man. Like, if you want the nickel-plated 828U, you're talking $4,400.
Yeah, and if it got any kind of fancy engraving on it, forget it.
Yeah, and you know the problem with those shotguns is I'd be so nervous about taking it anywhere to do any kind of hunting with it. Like,
upland hunting.
Upland bird would be different because it's in your hands all the time. You're not, you know what I mean?
And you're just walking in a grassy field.
To have it in a duck blind where it's knocked around and it's people are, you know, tapping, you know, it's just, it'd break my heart.
Nah, not when it's worth as much as my car.
I'm picking up a turkey choke this week. For my M2 and a box of shells, so and then I'll probably grab.
Where you going?
Josh like told me about B that in Indian Creek for turkey.
Hmm.
Probably whatever the turkey shot is, whatever they recommend. I've never hunted turkey, so I'm just gonna let them.
It's tiny.
Is it?
Yeah, it's like
okay. It's because they want the spread, and
it's like number six extra or something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, little tiny guys. Every time I see people doing the target practice on like the paper that turns orange and shit when you shoot it, there's always little baby holes.
Okay. I was just going to go in and ask the boys like, hey, what do you recommend for a turkey shell that's not
$5
a shell? You know what I mean?
1 ounce slug, just pop that head.
Yeah. Josh was telling me about Indian Creek chokes. Apparently they're quite good.
Okay.
For turkey. So I'm going to have a look at those. And they've also got some Carlson choke tubes in there, which I've always been a Carlson choke guy. I think they work so well.
Yeah.
And they're nice and durable. So yeah, I'll get a turkey choke. And then before duck season, I'll pick up a long range.
See, I'd like, choke. I think but for turkey, if I was going to go shotgun, it'd be a 410.
Yeah.
Super accurate. super the thing's a little tack driver for as far as a shotgun is considered. And
yeah, I know what you mean.
It's so easy on you. It's so light.
Oh yeah.
It's so like it's like, you know.
I'm very happy that I had decided to go with an M2 because it only takes a 3-inch shell.
That's enough.
It doesn't take 3.5, and I've always shot guns that chambered 3.5 for geese and stuff. And it's just, man, it's so rough on the old shoulder.
Don't need it.
And 3-inch gets it done.
They did it with 2¾ for decades and decades.
Yes, man, forever.
Just be a better shot.
No reason to. Yeah, just don't miss, bro.
That's the no, but that was our problem too. Regardless of how little animals we seen coming in at us, one of our biggest problems with bird hunting was hitting them in the right spot. Because there'd be plenty of times we'd hear the pellets just going tick, 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 coming off their back. Like, if you don't shoot them where you need to shoot them, they're not going to die.
When we got going, we were relatively green on
of course, duck as everybody is when you start.
Yeah, and the problem was we didn't have anybody to show us the ropes. Like when it came to like big game, like moose and caribou and stuff, like we always had the old man. You know, he always took us when we were young and stuff, and so we had a good idea what to do. And he went with us when we were grown men. Like he showed us the ropes. You know, bird hunting was never like that. We were, I mean, trying to get the old man to go duck hunting, he'd be like, "What the fuck?
Go sit down in the water pour."
Yeah, he's like, I'm not doing that shit. So we never really had anybody to show. Even Colin, right? Like that was all self-taught.
Yeah, just watching on YouTube.
You know, and I spent hours and hours. Like every time I used to drive across from St. John's for 6 hours, like it'd just be me smoking cigarettes and blowing duck calls the whole way across.
You get there and smoke a lot of cigarettes. What are you doing, boy? Voice
the raspy John. Voice from... Just shot to shit, right? So no, it's interesting, but yeah, I think a Stoger Condor would be perfect for you, bro.
Yeah, it'd be plenty.
I think it'd do the job 100%. I don't know if what do they got for cheap semi-automatics nowadays?
For semis, maybe in a
that's the problem maybe with semis.
1100. From Remington, maybe a. I would imagine.
Oh, here's Savage one.
Makes one.
No. I don't know how to pronounce this. G I R S A N. Grinson?
Gerson? G I R S A N?
Yeah.
Yeah, Gerson. Never heard of
it. So a Gerson MC312 semi automatic $589.
Asian?
That's actually a pretty good price, to be honest.
Would you think it's Asian?
Look at I don't know what it is.
Like, does it look like a copy of something is what I'm saying. Does it look like a copy of a Remington? Oh, there's always the Winchester as well.
It gives me Stoger vibes.
Okay.
From looking at it. There's a Weatherby.
Weatherby
synthetic here.
That's that
for $849, which Weatherby's a good gun.
Yeah, yeah, that's the SA-12 or whatever.
The Stoger Element, the Weatherby Element.
Oh, I'm not up on the guns anymore. I shouldn't be kind
of. No, I know you're out of the game when it comes to that stuff. Actually, when it comes to the Winchester SX-4, they have jumped in price.
Yeah. That was a good gun.
You're $1,500.
Ooh, they really jumped in price. They were $900. They were $899. Remember Johnny's pump was $799. Yeah. SXP, that was a nice gun too.
Yeah,
bit fat.
Yeah, the SX-4.
I found a bit fat.
Yeah, it is. It is
like fat in the hand.
Same with the Benelli Nova. Has kind of a real thick, yeah,
because it flares out. Because where it's got that inertia kick, the flare on the back is so you can just kind of speed load.
I do enjoy the way I'm coming from a Beretta A400, which
also I sold
a few years ago. Also a thick gun, right?
Fat.
Even the foregrip or even the pistol grip, quite large.
Fat.
but I did like the inlaid rubber.
Yes, I did like that.
Going back to, yeah, right? Because it gave you a nice grip in cold, wet weather.
As long as you were a right-handed person.
Going back to a Benelli, because I had a Super Black Eagle 2 for a while as well.
Much thinner.
So the M, much thinner. And the M2 is the same profile.
Yeah.
You can't tell the difference by looking at them. I do like how Benelli has that. It's like a cup right at the back where your palm sits in it. It's a beautiful, beautiful gun, man.
Yeah.
I'm real excited. So, yeah, I'll be interested to get you into a shotgun again now eventually. Once I think for you, it'll be a case of once you harvest some stuff with your bow, like once you get the deer, once you get the turkey, it'll be like, okay, accomplishment done.
Mix it up, and maybe.
And when you figured it out where it comes a little bit more easy, where you're like, okay, well, like come the fall, let's say you tag out on your turkeys this spring and you've got a good deer spot now. And let's say you kind of bang those out pretty quick. It's like, okay, well, your season's over. Or we could do some duck hunting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which when it comes to duck hunting, I find it's a much more conducive for like hunting with buddies.
Oh, by far.
Because you don't got to be quiet like you do. I mean, you can't be bawling, but you can be in the blind. You can have a chat. You can cook up a little bit of grub. You can laugh a little bit.
And you ain't one man hunting with all the shit you need to bring in for duck hunting. Not unless it's already
in there. Or unless you're doing like a field hunt with a lay down blind and.
Yeah, but even then,
you know, you're just stopping.
Even
off.
Then, you got to bring in 150 goose decoys with you.
Yeah, you do. Gotta bring in some
decoys for sure. Bird is not for the lone survivor. Like
it's just so much more fun with buddies, man.
Well, you got really to because you'd be poisoned if you had to lug all that in by yourself.
I pulled out we did the spring cleaning the other day, and I pulled out. I gutted the closet to make more storage room, and. I was like, oh yeah, my lay down blind, my goose flag. I was like, oh yeah, fucking right. So I'm all excited about it now and stuff. So
you need to get storage unit.
It'll be I do. I'm actually I'm pricing some out now.
Good.
Just to get some stuff out of there. It's
crazy.
Bro, I know. That's what kills me, man. To pay somebody to just keep my shit.
I know.
You know what I mean?
That's all.
Pay somebody to keep my shit in their place.
Yeah.
Come on.
Let me rent some floor space.
The problem for me is it's not so much my stuff that needs to go in storage because a lot of my stuff is like I can't put my press in storage because I need it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm not going to go to the fucking storage unit to work on my bow, but we just need some stuff.
If it's like, close to shooter's choice, maybe. Close to the range.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Yeah.
And if
but we just need some stuff to put like. Totes of like winter gear and shit like that that we're not going to use all summer long and then switch it out when winter comes. We bring the winter stuff back, we put the summer stuff in there.
You need to make a secret like door in the store.
Yeah,
remember
yeah,
where exactly. That secret well, door no, is?
Exactly. So we've been tossing around some ideas of where I can store stuff and shit like that. So we'll get it all figured out and all that stuff. And but we're real excited now for hunting the season to open up, and I'm excited to get hunting with you a little bit now this year, and we'll have a good time.
Well, I mean,
and all that good
coming
stuff.
Up in June, we got a whole bunch of clover to plant.
You do have a bunch of clover to plant.
5 acres.
Get them deers coming in. Get them
5 acres of clover, bro.
You had some good deer on camera the other
day. I'm going to need your help to come take some out.
I know. Yeah, yeah.
WMU.
You get yours first, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Get yours first. And then if I haven't tagged out, we'll do a trip up.
Yeah. I mean.
And with any luck, one of us will draw an elk tag or a moose tag.
Right now, I'd rather go for a moose.
Just because we know how.
Yeah. I know exactly what to do. I don't need to, you know, like brush up a little bit on the differences in terrain for here because it's going to be very similar, but a little different. But elk is a whole other game.
Oh, that's a game we've never played.
Yeah,
ever.
We need some time.
Yeah, I'd like to find somebody who's kind of done it. Actually, would be nice to have come with us. So if any of you guys out there and you're from Ontario or whatever,
Oh, yes. If you've hunted elk in Ontario, good Lord.
Yeah. You know, shoot us a message because we'd love to have some assistance on it. If one of us draws a tag, that'd be awesome. So, but we'll call it a night here, folks. Yeah. If you're looking to get into a saddle for this year, go on over to Cruiser Saddles and you can use code Batista to save yourself a little bit of money.
Fancy pants.
Fancy pants. Well, you got a nice saddle.
I got
too,
one so. Too. They are super comfortable, yeah. So I gotta say.
They are a top-notch saddle, for sure.
For a guy who sits great in the saddle, as opposed to just leans back, the expandable XC is the way.
Yeah, it's money.
That's the way.
Anyway, folks, thank you very much for listening. I've got a deer hunt video out on my YouTube channel, CJD Batista. So head on over there and check that out if you want to watch some deer hunting. And catch us again next week, next Wednesday as well. We'll have another show out, and he will be telling you all about his new setup.
Oh, yes. It's going to be quite exuberant.
Yeah, 100%. All right, though, folks. Thank you very much for listening. Good night.
Love you.